This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shunning. We have been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you if someone is working a gig economy job, are they considered to be fully employed? We've had about 90 votes, and so far 43% said no, they're not considered to be fully employed. 20% said yes, 30% said it's complicated. Another 7% said not sure. You've still got about an hour left to weigh in if you haven't already, so do let us know what you think. But of course, the digital economy is also in the news recently because it has become somewhat synonymous with disruption. And to illustrate the economic potential at stake, the Malaysian digital economy on average has grown 9% annually in value-added terms between 2010 to 2016.
In the Bank Negara's annual report for 2017, it states that the digital transformation could provide a boost of up to, get this, US$136 billion, that amounts to about 561 billion ringgit, to the country's GDP by 2025. That's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big chunk of change.
Yes.
I was going to say you can buy lots of packets of peanuts with that.
A lot.
You can have a lot of Grab rides with that.
But the question is, how are we as a country readying ourselves for this digital transformation? So are we then creating the right environment for us to capitalize on the opportunities of the tech and digital economy?
So for some thoughts on this, this morning we speak to Dan Cobley, a venture capitalist and the former managing director of Google UK and Ireland. Thank you for joining us, Dan. Now, just illustrate this a little bit for us. How can Malaysia encourage future disruptors from among its population?
Well, I think to get disruption into any market, you need a combination of great talent, funding for their ideas, supportive regulation, good market access, and then ideally a startup ecosystem in which they can flourish.
And you mentioned a number of factors here, but let's zero in on the questions of talent. How can we develop and retain the necessary talent for creative disruption?
Okay, so on the talent side, you need a good pool of top graduates in the right technical disciplines coming out of the universities. So obviously courses in computer science, but then making sure there are strong courses in artificial intelligence and machine learning, perhaps more specialist subjects like fintech and blockchain. People coming out of degrees with those skills are going to be more likely to start disruptive companies. And then at the postgraduate level, research chairs in those subjects and attracting students from overseas is also valuable. So have you got the right visa system to bring people in to study in your top universities and for them to stay once they have completed their studies? And I think that's something where UK and the US are not being very smart right now in making it harder for graduates post their studies to stay and start up companies in the places they studied. And I also think that when they graduate, it's really important that entrepreneurship is seen as a high status career. So if all your best graduates think it's the pinnacle of achievement is to go into banking or consultancy, then you're not going to get the best grads going into startups. But increasingly in US and Western Europe, it's seen as a cool and aspirational thing to go into a startup business. And the more that's the case, the more you're going to get the right environment for startup businesses. And then lastly, I think you want hubs where that great talent comes together and where you get a density of people who are all working on disruptive startup ideas. So if you think about Shenzhen in China, or you think about Silicon Docks in Dublin or Silicon Roundabout in London, they are places where, you know, if you go to a coffee shop, then half the people in there are going to be working on startups. And I think that really helps the talent pool to feed off itself and to build up to do valuable things.
So, Dan, what cities would you highlight as models when it comes to creating the right environment for disruption then?
I went to see a bunch of the creative disruption leaders, companies like Xiaomi and Alibaba and JD.com, and it's clear that they have enormous momentum there, and they've done an exceptional job of going from essentially low-cost outsourced manufacturer up through the value chain and are now leading the world in many areas of hardware and software innovation. So I think there's definitely a lot of learnings that can be taken from there and definitely worth studying. And at the other end of the spectrum, I think Dublin has done a very good job over the last 20 or 30 years of establishing itself as the default place for global tech leaders to establish their European operational center. And there are probably lessons to be learned from that as to how potentially Kuala Lumpur could do something similar.
So the Malaysian government has made digital initiatives a part of its focus in its future growth, you know, as reflected in our recently announced budget, with more money being poured into SMEs as well as getting our labour capital ready for IR 4.0. So Dan, what do you think of this? Is this the right tactic or should we be channeling our funds to something else?
I think it's probably helpful to think about where do you see the role of Malaysia's tech ecosystem on the global stage. So clearly you are not the lowest cost economy for starting out as China did 20 years ago with super low cost manufacturer and then gradually working up the value chain. And likewise to date, you haven't been the hub for global tech companies to establish their Southeast Asian operations out of. So it's worth thinking about, you know, where do you want to play? Do you want to be the center for financial services technology or for medical technology or for Internet of Things technology? It may be worth having a thought about that so you can be more focused on what you're doing. And I also think there might be an opportunity for Malaysia to try to steal some of Hong Kong and Singapore's position as the obvious place that a European or a US tech giant will put its Asian hub, because I think there are kind of many reasons why Kuala Lumpur could be more attractive to those companies if there were a few additional elements that were wrapped around what's already there.
Thank you very much, Dan. And that was Dan Cobley, a venture capitalist and the former managing director of Google UK and Ireland. Dan will be speaking at the TM1 Leap Summit at the KL Convention Centre on the 5th of November. Now, he made an interesting comment there, which is that he sees that there may be some opportunity for KL to actually threaten, I guess, Hong Kong as well as Singapore in terms of being the location of choice for multinational companies looking to set up an Asian hub. And I think that's maybe more likely now considering the ongoing protests that are happening over in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I think also Malaysia has something that's going on for it that we didn't have before, which is that we are right now in the era of New Malaysia. And supposedly we can express our views freely without having our minds and our speeches checked. For example, if somebody decided to protest at a convocation, right, that person should not be checked. And I attended SC by SC yesterday, and it was a room full of very smart people from Silicon Valley. You can tell that they were cultivated in places where, you know, they were allowed to thrive, right? They had ideas and
they were allowed to question.
Correct.
Right.
A dissent question. And those are the basic ingredients of creativity. And when you have a business idea, right, creative business idea, you're allowed to carry on with that idea unhindered by other people.
But I'm the reality check in the room, okay? Because the reason, like he mentioned Dublin, why is it the disruptor capital? Actually, when you look at it, it's basically because it has one of the lowest tax rates in Europe. So if you really want to be a business hub of anything, sometimes you just need to go back to how much money can these companies make. And as we know, everybody wants a low tax haven. So that will be something that we need to consider.
To that, I would say we are in the midst of throwing a lot of money at Malaysian Airlines, and we have been in the past 2 decades. So money does not all the time solve everything. So there you go.
All right. Well, right now we are heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Julian Ng speaks with Sigal Altman, CEO of Medics. We'll be continuing this conversation perhaps after that. But first, enjoy the news and then the Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.